Chapter 63. Robert Langdon had now finished transcribing the spiral text from the death mask onto paper so they could analyze it more closely. Sienna and Dr. Ferris huddled in close to help, and Langdon did his best to ignore Ferris's ongoing scratching and labored breathing. "He's fine," Langdon told himself, forcing his attention to the verse before him. "O you possessed of sturdy intellect, observe the teaching that is hidden here, beneath the veil of verses so obscure." "As I mentioned earlier," Langdon began, "the opening stanza of Zobrist's poem is taken verbatim from Dante's Inferno, an admonition to the reader that the words carry a deeper meaning. Dante's allegorical work was so replete with veiled commentary on religion, politics, and philosophy that Langdon often suggested to his students that the Italian poet be studied much as one might study the Bible, reading between the lines in an effort to understand the deeper meaning. Scholars of medieval allegory," Langdon continued, "generally divide their analyses into two categories, text and image. Text being the literal content of the work, and image being the symbolic message."
"Okay," Ferris said eagerly. "So the fact that the poem begins with this line suggests," Sienna interjected, "that our superficial reading may reveal only part of the story. The true meaning may be hidden."
"Something like that, yes." Langdon returned his gaze to the text and continued reading aloud. "Seek the treacherous Doge of Venice, who severed the heads from horses and plucked up the bones of the blind." "Well," Langdon said, "I'm not sure about headless horses and the bones of the blind, but it sounds like we're supposed to locate a specific doge."
"I assume a doge's grave?" Sienna asked.
"Or a statue or portrait," Langdon replied. "There haven't been doges for centuries."
"The doges of Venice were similar to the dukes of the other Italian city-states, and more than 100 of them had ruled Venice over the course of 1,000 years, beginning in A.D. 697. Their lineage had ended in the late 18th century with Napoleon's conquest, but their glory and power still remain subject of intense fascination for historians."
"As you may know," Langdon said, "Venice's two most popular tourist attractions, the Doge's Palace and St. Mark's Basilica, were built by the Doge's for the Doge's. Many of them are buried right there."
"And do you know," Sienna asked, eyeing the poem, "if there was a doge who was considered to be particularly dangerous?"
Langdon glanced down at the line in question. "Seek the treacherous Doge of Venice." "None that I know of. But the poem doesn't use the word dangerous. It uses the word treacherous. There's a difference, at least in the world of Dante. Treachery is one of the 7 deadly sins, the worst of them, actually, punished in the 9th and final ring of hell.
Treachery, as defined by Dante, was the act of betraying a loved one. History's most notorious example of the sin had been Judas's betrayal of his beloved Jesus, an act Dante considered so vile that he had Judas banished to the Inferno's innermost core, a region named Giudecca, after its most dishonorable resident.
"Okay," Ferris said. "So we're looking for a doge who committed an act of treachery."
Sienna nodded her agreement.
"That will help us limit the list of possibilities."
She paused, eyeing the text.
"But this next line, a doge who severed the heads from horses."
She raised her eyes to Langdon.
"Is there a doge who cut off horses' heads?"
The image Sienna evoked in his mind reminded Langdon of the gruesome scene from The Godfather.
"Doesn't ring a bell. But according to this, he also plucked up the bones of the blind."
He glanced over at Ferris. "Your phone has internet, right?" Ferris quickly pulled out his phone and held up his swollen, rashy fingertips.
"The buttons might be difficult for me to manage." "I've got it," Sienna said, taking his phone. "I'll run a search for Venetian doges, cross-referenced with headless horses and the bones of the blind."
She began typing rapidly on the tiny keyboard.